and welcome to the Libby's podcast, conversations with authors who've been shortlisted for the British Book Awards, lovingly known as the Nibbies. I'm your host and longtime Nibbies fan, Hannah McInnes. These awards celebrate books and everyone who makes them, honouring the entire creative, collaborative journey of a book, from the author's mind to the reader's hand. And that's what we're going to do on this podcast. Chat to some of today's best-loved authors about their books, their writing, what's gone on behind the scenes to get them to where they are, and those lovely moments when they and the books they've created have found their readers.
My name's Nicholas Allen, and I write and illustrate children's picture books, and I've always done that.
And The King's Pants, just for those who haven't yet read it, tell us the premise.
Well, it's about the different pants the king wears for different social occasions. And I did write a book, The Queen's Knickers, which was written about 35 years ago. And that's on a similar theme. It's about what royalty wears for social occasions underneath.
Where did this idea come from then? This idea that you wanted to explore or know more about the Queen's Knickers and now the King's Pants?
Well, I like the idea of writing about something which is very fundamental, as it were, but then giving it to something which is so highly regarded. So it's that mixture of two things, very basic and very sort of, and something like royalty is so highly regarded and everything. I thought that would be good to mix them.
Yes, and I suppose given that royalty is so highly regarded, it's a careful balance to get that judgment right of the humour, you know, given the respect that we sort of give to the royal family. How do you feel? Because you obviously did get that right, and we'll come into later the reaction, the extraordinary reaction, even with the royals themselves. But how did you judge that so that it wasn't necessarily inappropriate to write about the King's Pants?
To be honest, I don't think like that. I write a book which I think would be fun. Not for children, but for me. It's pure enjoyment. And presumably I have a childish sense of humour because children like it. The Queen's Knickers, when it was published, was when I wrote it, I naturally assumed it wouldn't be taken. I wrote it and I was very depressed because I thought no one's going to read this book or publish it. And then I wrote another one called The Princess's Pants or Knickers. And then I gave it to my brother to read, just for a laugh. And he said, oh, why don't you send it to your editor for a laugh? And so I sent it, and she took it and published it. But I didn't assume it would be published, to be honest.
So the whole extraordinary journey you've been on since has been quite a surprise to you?
Yes. When it was accepted, I was so pleased, because it's so naughty. I felt it was very naughty. And it's just the sort of book I would have loved to have read when I was a child.
Mm.
And The King's Pants, just as much. And in fact, it's a better book, because I've written the other one, and this one I was more I had a sense of what I was doing. The other one was just off the wall.
You also knew that it had gone down absolutely brilliantly. I wonder what you think you sort of tapped into. It's loved by children everywhere and adults. What do you think it is about it that brings such joy and such love and makes it so popular?
I think it's because I enjoyed doing it so much. It's so, more than any other book, actually, it was such a thrill to write because it was so exhilarating because it was so stupid. It was a stupidity. I think it's that which particularly English audiences love. You know, like Winnie the Pooh is just bonkers, isn't it?
So when you say it's exhilarating and thrilling, what's that process like for you? Do you sit down and write it all in a day? Do you write a bit each day? Do the formulation of ideas happen at different times?
I write every day for 6 hours with a pen and a piece of paper. And most of it's dross. About a year's worth is dross. And most of the books are sent back to me because my publisher doesn't want books that sort of publish and go. They want them to stick around. And so that's the real work. But when it comes, it's very quick. And this was written in a day. roughly, very crudely, and you do illustrations at the same time. So you're just mucking around, just playing, really. So it can be done very, very fast, but it doesn't make it any less good or bad.
So this idea, once it came to you, you just sat down and it all pours out?
Yeah. Like some songs, you know, are written incredibly quickly, but you know, you've got a lifetime of skill in doing them, making them.
The publishing journey is obviously familiar to you now, but was there anything along the way in this one that most surprised you or that was different?
Well, there was enormous publicity put into it at the time. And that, I'd had other bestsellers. It wasn't the first one. But it is spectacular what publishers can do if they decide to push a book. But they don't push a book unless they think it's got something.
Mm.
So it's not as if they can push any book.
And how do you find that, being at the centre of it?
It's wonderful, because your work's being shown and shown, you know. And it's fun anyway. I find it fun. Well, everyone likes to be thought of as important for a moment, for an hour.
Because it really was an extraordinary campaign, wasn't it? I mean, the windows, the displays, the creative response from shops. I mean, the design competitions, the pant bunting, just so much. What's it like to see that everywhere and have that happen?
Wonderful. It's wonderful. But what's better, what's even more amazing, is picked up by other people. Or, you know, I know one in one village, they'd done it, dressed up some statue with the Queen's pants and stuff. And it was a wonderful photograph, this statue covered in pants. And schools, of course, take it up to send pants to everyone, to royalty, and they get replies. They all got replies.
Well, I was reading in all the major newspapers the story of how a school in Shropshire sent the pants to the King himself and got this personal reply.
That's right, yeah. It shows the King's got a sense of humour, I suppose.
Well, I think that's
he needs one.
And I think that's what's so brilliant about the judgment I was talking about at the beginning, that clearly the royals enjoyed it and had a sense of humour, because it's not just the King. I think you got a letter yourself, didn't you, from William and Kate?
William and Kate's letter was very nice, and they read it to they were reading it to their children, and they liked it. But I suppose if you had a book about your father's pants, you're bound to want to read it to your children, wouldn't you?
What did William and Kate's letter say?
It just said how much they enjoyed reading it to their children, who enjoyed it too. And they named each child. So they did put something into it.
Mm. And what about the personal interactions that you've had? Because you said it's wonderful to be at the centre of all these extraordinary, I think it's called Pantastic campaign that they did, and all this brilliant things that are going on around the coronation as well. But what is it like to actually meet and interact with the children themselves, which I know you've done? I wonder about moments you remember from their feedback and their interactions with you.
It's marvellous. I mean, if they're young enough, they don't really appreciate that it's a real person. It's more like a fairy tale king, which is just as good. I mean, I think when I wrote The Queen's Knickers, I was always worried when the Queen, you know, finally went. And my father said, don't worry, the children are more interested in knickers than the Queen. And it's very true in the same way. They're interested in the knickers. They're not so bothered about the King. But the older children find it funny because they do know the King. So it has a... In fact, there's a school teacher's book manual which talks about the Queen's knickers and how it's questions the idea of whether it's fiction or documentary, which has become a very important thing now because of what fake news. And so this book has an added relevance.
Questions whether it's real or documentary, but also I suppose it's very important bringing a sense of humour and a sense of fun to to the royals and to pageantry and the pomp and ceremony of it all, because otherwise children might be slightly alienated from all of that, particularly around the coronation. I mean, was that part of your thinking, part of the journey of the book, was bringing children into something that they otherwise might not have been such a part of, the whole nation was going through?
Yeah, that's a good point. It sort of humanises it, I think. It makes, well, obviously, when they learn that the king wears pants, that alone is something that they might not have thought of before. You wouldn't have think that royalty could stoop so low.
But why do you then specifically choose to write for children? I know you said it's because you get so much fun out of it.
Yes.
But what is it that you hope bringing that fun and that life and that humour to children gives them?
What it gives them? Mm. I think it... I started off as a painter. I did life paint. I mean, did a degree in fine art. And then I did a MA in creative writing. And the two brought together, the ideal thing was a children's picture book. So the fact that you can do both, I feel gives me an advantage in that it's a very organic process and it enriches the book in that sense. And that's what children respond to that.
Mm.
So I think that's why.
And all the illustrations are yours.
Yeah.
And that's part of it for you, very much a part of it.
Yeah. I once illustrated someone else's book and I found it such a tedious business. And it wasn't my book, so I've never done that since. So I only illustrate my own books.
Now, I told you that I sat and I read this in a cafe and I laughed so loudly and I loved every bit of it. And a particularly memorable part for me was the pants made from rolled Highland oats.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite part of it, a favourite pair of them?
Oh, I like the drawbridge ones.
Describe those.
Well, the drawbridge ones are his castle pants, which he wears at Balmoral. And they have a real drawbridge made by a British craftsman. And they can be very useful at times when he has to lower the drawbridge.
What do children react and have their favourites? Has anything come up as the favourite pair from certain readers?
No. Probably they like the space pants. Perhaps that's because they like science fiction or something. But they like the space pants, which have extra airbags.
And can you tell me what you feel having a nomination for a Nibby does or means?
Oh, well, it's wonderful in the sense of it promotes the book and a lot more people see it than they would have otherwise. It's such a big award. And I know people have won it. And it really makes a difference, even if you're on the shortlist. And all the trade know about it. And that's what's so good about it. It's a bit like the BAFTAs, and it has all these categories. And in a way that other children's awards don't, generally. The children's awards aren't the best thing to win. I mean, this is one that everyone sees in the book trade.
Do you think generally children's books aren't sort of given the due or the praise or the attention that they deserve?
Well, they could always have more, but on the other hand, I think it's pretty good, the advertising for children's books. I mean, it's been
particularly this one.
Particularly this one.
I mean, you'd have to have walked round with your eyes closed for a very long time not to have known or seen the king's pants. And of course, therefore, that's something that, you've experienced the absolute maximum of wonderful, fantastic, everywhere you went. And what's it like working then with a wider team? Because presumably, as you were saying, when you sit down to write, well, where does that happen? Mm. When you do, the beginning process is a very solitary one.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's most of my time is spent alone. I live alone and I'm there 6 days a week, 6 days, 6 hours a day, every day, including Christmas. So it's a lonely process. And when you're working with other people, it is a totally different experience. I've had a TV series of one of my books, and there you were with the whole crew and everything, and that was a great experience.
So you relish the collaboration that comes with working with a publishing team?
Very much so. And they're so expert at what they do and enthusiastic. And so it really makes you feel special. But, you know, and then you can walk away. That's the other good thing. Mm.
So if you're sitting solitary, as you say, 6 days a week, where do the ideas come from? The characters we all know, we know the king, we know the queen, but where do the ideas come from? Do you have to go out to formulate those ideas, or do they? Where do they come to you from?
Well, children often ask that question. And my answer is that you sit in a room for 6 hours a day. You can't have any access to anything except you can have a cup of tea or go to the loo. And you get so bored, you start doodling. And eventually you force yourself to do something because there's nothing else to do. And that's the secret I've found.
So that you...
The secret of inspiration.
The secret of inspiration is to force it, to squeeze it out of you. Is that right?
Out of sheer boredom, yeah.
I mean, I have heard a lot of creative types say you mustn't imagine that ideas will just come, that you have to put yourself... You have to sit down every day and wait for them to come. You don't just gallop, sort of wander around hoping.
No, you're absolutely right. On the other hand, ideas can come just suddenly from nowhere, or someone can say something by accident. That's often happened. And it just clicks, and you know you've got something. But that's after struggling for ages or sitting at your desk.
The struggle is real.
Yeah. Hemingway said, you know, writing's... It's either easy or it's blowing your way through rock with dynamite. It's just one slog after another, getting nowhere.
So that's the struggle. Which part of it, we talked about watching, interacting with children, watching that wonderful rollout of the reception and the fantastic marketing, but what would you say is the best moment for you then, after all that struggle of the whole process, because you go back to it again and again? It's obviously worth it.
I think it's reaction you get from a book from a child is always exhilarating, when they come up with the most unexpected thing. I went to a school with the King's Pants recently, and there's a little girl sitting in the library because I was being shown round, and she looked up and said, "Did you write The King's Pants?" And I said, "Well, yes, I did." She said, "Pervert."
No. Yeah. How old was she?
Six or seven. Obviously, her father or mother had said something.
Have you got any other anecdotes of how children... Because children's reactions to things are unbeatable, the things they say, because they're not censored.
Yeah.
So have you got any other examples? I'm sure that probably can't be rivaled, but have you got any other examples?
Of other books? Or just
of children's reactions to this book?
I do. No, just that they always ask you, "Have you met the Queen?" and "What did you say to her?" and things like that. And they do have an interest in the Queen. Mm. And they ask me what underpants I wear.
That is the truth, isn't it?
Close to the line, isn't it?
Well, I think that they obviously realise they can be as close to the line as they like, because you've written a book.
I've released them.
You've written a book about the King's Pants. And what about deciding on... I mean, you do your own illustrations, and they obviously are as lively and as vibrant as you can possibly get. How do you decide what to put? You've got this wonderful cover of the coronation, the waving from the balcony, with the knickers as the flags. Yeah. How do you decide where to go with your cover? And are you always... what's the process for that?
Actually, the book was finished and then you do the cover. But, I mean, in other books, I've often started with the title and then try and work out a story. So that's a way of doing it. But this one, you get help. And Sue Buswell, the editor, is brilliant at seeing how the cover should look, because I didn't agree with her on things, but she said how you had to have the characters there, which everyone could recognise. And I think that she's done it very well. So the editor is the one who decides, and also who's the other one? The designer obviously has a great influence on it. Mm. So we work on it together. But that's the most that where you get a team working on it, because that's the most important picture in the on the book, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, it's the one that everybody sees.
Yeah.
And you said that you've worked with television on a few of your books, have been made into series. Do you envisage them ending up that way when you write? Do you think of them being animated and coming to life that way?
No, I don't. It was only that book, this particular one, and I thought this is a, be a good TV series before I wrote it, but I didn't know about television. So I said, so I thought I'd write the book to ensure copyright. And also it was a book I wanted to do anyway. And then I said, and someone's bound to pick it up in a bookshop if it worked. And they did. That's just exactly what happened. So no one tried to push it. It was just picked up. And it was a 56 episodes and a BAFTA. So it was all worked.
I can very much imagine the King's Pants sort of coming to life in that way.
Oh, well, people are working on it.
Oh, they are.
But it is an opera, which you can see. And it's been, The Queen's Nick has been a musical at the West End. So musicals are being picked up a lot for my books.
Tell us about the King's Pants Opera.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's at the Barnes Festival this summer, if you want to go and see it. They're real opera singers. And it's a special company in which people who have left opera school or whatever, in between that moment when they become professional, they can join this company, and then so you've got professional singers, but they can work on a low budget, and then they made a script or whatever you call it for the King's Pants.
Mm. When you say low budget, it reminds me of something I didn't ask you before. We talked about how it's brilliant to bring the humour of the pomp and ceremony of a coronation that could otherwise alienate children to them.
Yeah.
But I suppose the other thing is it also makes it much more accessible. Because the royals can feel like something so many times removed from everyone, which they are, and it brings them into everybody's homes.
That's right. Yeah, they become normal people. Yeah, that is something that I wanted to get across.
Yeah, why?
Because they are. Underneath, they are. I think I did another book called Jesus Christmas Party, which is about the nativity scene through the eyes of an innkeeper who gets more and more irritated by these people coming around. And one child said, oh, how could you know about this? Were you there? But in the sense that I brought made them seem like normal people.
Right, so that's exactly it. It's so important to you, I'm wondering why, to normalise people who are otherwise in other worlds. The royals are in other worlds. Jesus is in another world.
Yeah. So I think it's because, deep down, I think most books are about seeking truth, trying to find truths in things. And even these, a book like this, it sort of finds a truth that the royalty are real, just normal people.
Mm.
They're not normal, but they are people just like that, but the children.
I suppose in the same way most books are to enable you to walk in other people's shoes.
Yeah.
And in a similar way, that's what you're doing.
Yes. Or that we find that we're walking in other people's shoes, the other people are exactly the same as us anyway.
And laughter does that better than anything.
Yeah.
Brings people all down to the same level.
Yes, I think laughter is very, very underestimated.
Why?
Because people would write about serious things, but humour would help so much. You think one of the greatest novels of the Second World War was Catch-22. But it's incredibly comic. And yet, you know, this ghastly situation. But it's a book that people read and enjoy because he has brought humour into it, and it makes it much more realistic and more deepens it.
Mm.
And I think that's what humour does in fiction.
Yeah. So what's next?
There's a new book.
Are you allowed to tell us about it?
Yes, it's about immortality. And it's a much more experimental book. Very different from anything I've done. So I'm really excited about it because it's something new for me.
Well, it is wonderful to have you on the podcast, and it's fascinating to hear about the journey of the King's Pants. Thank you very much.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to subscribe to the series to hear more conversations with Nibby's authors. And we'd love it if you'd rate it and leave us a review. Do visit thebookseller.com/British-book-awards to find out more about the industry's biggest celebration of books and all who make them. This podcast was produced by Heavy Entertainment.